Thanks for listening to the Hire a Hero, Hire a Vet podcast. In this episode, I'm talking to Alex Jigger, a senior account executive with Orion. Alex provides some great insight on the challenges of military hiring from the perspective of both the job seeker and the employer. If you have any questions about this podcast or ideas for a future show, please send me an email at podcast@oriontalent.com. Hey, Alex, how's it going today?
Good. How are you today, Megan?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. We're just getting the employer podcast going. So we've had our job seeker podcast going for a couple of months now, but I figured now would be a great time to kind of dive into the why military, what are some of the challenges they face, and I thought you would be a perfect person for that, given your role in Orion and then also your recent appearance on Operation American Dream. So before we get into all of that, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. I'm originally from Northern California, the San Francisco Bay Area. Went to college at Tulane University in New Orleans and accepted a commission in the United States Marine Corps back in 2008. I served from 2008 to 2013 on active duty as a Marine Corps tank officer, as well as a foreign security force advisor with a couple of deployments. Transitioned off of active duty in 2013 and came to Orion initially as a candidate and joined the team late in that year as an account executive. So I'm coming up on about 4 years here at the organization.
Awesome. So you really have that unique experience of not only having served yourself and knowing what it's like to be in the shoes of a transitioning military candidate, but now that you've seen the business side of things, you're kind of able to translate that then for the employers that you work with.
Absolutely.
Great. So what was it about Orion that made you want to come work here?
I think I was attracted to the fact that ultimately we are an organization that has a very important mission. Even though I was getting off of active duty, I remained very passionate about the military community, and I felt that what better way to make my foray into the civilian workforce than to help companies to attract and hire folks whose profiles I greatly valued, and a portion of the community out there that I think can really offer them some great benefits in their organization. So I liked the mission of Orion. I thought it was great that I would have the opportunity to work with other people that have a shared background, understood kind of where I came from, the way that I might operate, and then ultimately be able to spend my day helping companies to hire talented veterans.
Great. Yeah, I think we see that a lot with a lot of our account executives and recruiters where even if, you know, some of our recruiters, maybe they did some kind of recruiting role in the military, but a lot of times it's something completely unrelated, and it's really just the overall mission and kind of a way to just keep that camaraderie and hold on to those values that were so important to you while you were serving. So transitioning into a role in Orion, it kind of seems like a natural fit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for a lot of veterans that are coming out, they're looking at where they fit into the bigger picture of the world. And I knew that I wanted to be in a customer-facing role where I would have the opportunity to interact with businesses across the spectrum of industries. And not every job gives you the opportunity to do that. And in addition, I wanted to be able to really be advocating for a product or a service that I really believed in. And I can't think of one that I'm more passionate about or more invested in the military community.
That's great. So now that you're in this customer-facing role and you've been in the account executive position for several years now, I know you work with all kinds of companies in every industry that you can imagine, but in your experience, what are some of the greatest challenges that some of these organizations face?
Sure. So I think that there's a number of challenges that organizations face when they're looking to bring on military veterans. I think one of them is oftentimes a lack of organizational understanding about what skill sets coming out of the military align with the jobs that they have to offer. It's very common, and there's a lot of noise in the military hiring space by companies and firms that say, well, we want to hire the vets because it's a great thing to do. But at the end of the day, companies have positions with requirements, and they need to fill them with folks that have the ability to do those jobs. And I think oftentimes companies don't realize the variety of skill set coming out of the military and the way that that talent will affect their organization. So it's kind of getting companies to understand what it is that that they have available that would be not only a fit for military veterans, but also attractive to them. So I think that's one of the great challenges. In addition to that, it's also just a lack of supply. So a lot of companies say, we want to hire veterans. You know, maybe they attend some job fairs where they set up a booth, they collect a lot of resumes, and ultimately that comes with very minimal results as far as folks that are actually joining the organization and being retained. And so I think a lot of times that's why companies are reaching out to partner to build partnerships with firms like Orion, because they see that there are subject matter experts out there that can assist them with identifying the right folks for their jobs, helping them whittle down this large group of the populace and find the ones that are ultimately the best fit for their company.
Yeah, I think those are spot on. And I also think, you know, just with the first one that you had mentioned about the translation of skills and maybe not even understanding where some of these veterans would fit into the organization, I know that's probably something that you could relate to as you are transitioning off of active duty. Because I know veterans feel the same way. Well, companies maybe don't understand where they fit. A lot of veterans aren't necessarily sure where they would fit either. So that's kind of in line with a challenge that a company faces, but also a veteran. But what are some of the other challenges that you think veterans face as they're transitioning off of active duty?
So there's a couple that I think really stand out. One I would say for sure is a lack of understanding about what's out there in the marketplace. I mean, as with, you know, your average college student goes and studies something and then gets a job after that seems like a good job in the geography they want to live in and maybe aligns with their degree. Your average military veteran is not at that young a stage in their progression as a professional. So in many cases, they're getting out after 10 years of really weighty dynamic service, but they're still walking into this big world where they're not really sure where their skill sets may align. And what I think we see is a lot of vets really only know the companies that are household names or maybe the ones that their family and friends work for, and they assume that those are great places for them to land because they don't really know much else. And so a lot of that is starting to educate themselves about where their skill sets fit and where they would really be, you know, what companies exist out there for them to start their career. I think another major challenge is kind of expectation management. So, you know, the truth of it is that the military gives officers and enlisted at a very young age the ability to take on some really weighty experiences. And what we find oftentimes is that we have transitioning folks that are in their late 20s, early 30s that have done some really incredible things and find themselves going out into the civilian sector, potentially looking to take a bit of a step back as far as their roles and responsibilities. And that can be a little bit of an adjustment initially for candidates, understanding what their market value is and where they really can come in and be successful. Because the truth of it is, you know, folks in the military promote and they gain, you know, they gain a responsibility because they've earned that right and they've got the experience. Whereas in the civilian world, you know, you go out onto a manufacturing floor or out into a sales territory for the first time, and there's a lot that you have to learn. And so it requires some humility when vets make the transition to be able to manage those expectations properly.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, I mean, that's right in line with what we see a lot on both the candidate side and then sometimes with clients when they're wondering, you know, a lot of times the pay expectations maybe aren't right in line with what someone was making in the military, or they think, well, as soon as I hire a veteran, they're going to want to be promoted at a certain pace like they were in the military. So it's definitely trying to set those expectations on both sides, but also make sure that you're getting the best fit for both.
Absolutely.
What would you say, so you talked a lot about a military candidate and the career, and a lot of times they have a ton of accomplishments and accolades and all the things that they've already earned before they transition. So obviously that's going to be a great benefit to whatever organization they join, because if someone is driven and has the passion and, you know, has succeeded in a previous role, I'm sure they'll do the same in the next role that they're in. So that's only good news for the company that would like to hire them. But what do you think are the top three values or benefits that veterans can offer organizations, maybe even compared to their non-veteran counterparts?
Oh, that's a difficult one, Megan. I think that there's a lot, and we hear a lot out there in the marketplace amongst, you know, HR and recruiting communities about the skills gap that exists in the marketplace and the fact that a lot of companies are looking for talent and they aren't able to find the folks that meet the right skills. I'm not really a firm believer that there is a skills gap. I think that in many cases, there's a leadership gap, and what companies are looking for, especially with all the negative press that the millennial generation gets, is folks that are willing to have that kind of old school roll up your sleeves mentality, where they want to come in, they want to learn, they want to throw themselves into a position, and they really want to show that passion to stick with that organization for the long term. So I would say the first thing that military veterans bring is definitely that grit. I hear from everyone from my companies that hire technicians in the steel mills all the way up to the highest level of white collar jobs that that the military veterans that they bring into their organization have this mentality that, you know, they're mission focused, they're going to find a way to win, they're going to do whatever it takes, you know, obviously within the rules of safety and the law, to be able to accomplish things. They don't need to come and ask for guidance a million times, and ultimately they're the types of folks that are dependable, and because they have those experiences, you know, spending months in a desert or on a ship or on a flight line, their sense of what is a rough day at the office is a whole lot different than maybe their civilian counterparts. The second one I would say is I think military veterans by and large have a bias for action. I think in the military community, because of the missions that need to be accomplished, especially given the fact that, you know, we've the majority of the veterans coming out now have spent a great portion, if not their entire career, serving during a time of war, is, you know, there's not the time to maybe sit around a table and discuss things for days on end before ultimately making a decision to act. And I think a lot of our companies appreciate the fact that with very little guidance, the military veteran is saying, okay, I have the information that I need to be able to come up with a baseline solution, and I'm confident enough in my abilities that if we're not completely where we need to be once we start to execute, that we can adjust course a little bit and ultimately still end up where we need to go. But there isn't that kind of paralysis by analysis that I think that the private sector is seeing right now oftentimes with folks. And it's great. Organizations want to have collaboration, but I think the military veteran really brings that level of focus to say, okay, this is all great and we need to have great ideas, but at some point we need to make a decision and we need to move forward with that decision and start to execute so that we can actually make change or create improvements. And then the last one I would say is just an incredible ability to learn quickly. I mean, what people don't realize about the military community is things change very quickly, and your average military veteran has had to do 4, 5, or 6 different jobs during their career, in many cases learning new pieces of equipment, operating under different systems, potentially supporting completely different missions than they had in the past. And very quickly, they have to come to a unit, they have to assess the situation, understand what their resources are, and pick up things very fast. And typically, or what I hear a lot, especially from the high technology companies that I work with, is, you know, that the Orion folks or the military veterans they hire on are able to pick up the material or pick up the equipment or understand the systems twice as fast as folks coming out of the civilian world. And that's simply because these are people that aren't overcome by the challenge of having to take on something new. They're able to pretty quickly understand the basics, ask questions when they need to, but ultimately dive right in and find ways to add value pretty much from the start of their time with the organization.
Yeah, I think those are all great answers and, I mean, undeniable attributes, right? You can't ask any organization, hey, what's your culture? What are the things you look for in an employee? And those would all be on the list. So I think, you know, it's really not even whether or not a veteran is a good fit for your organization. It's more like we talked about earlier. Well, the employers maybe have trouble matching, you know, the expectations and translating the skills. The veterans might have trouble, A, either finding the employer, knowing who wants to hire veterans, if it's going to be a good place for them to go work. So one thing you said in the Operation American Dream interview that I thought was interesting and a great analogy is that Orion's kind of a matchmaker in a situation like this. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that a lot of companies out there, aside from what I've already discussed about not necessarily having the organizational knowledge to know who they need to hire, one of the things that they oftentimes struggle with is if the company's not a household name, if they don't have commercials on TV, if they're not in magazines, if they're not all over social media, there's a lack of knowledge amongst the military community about what that company does and why the opportunities there are great. And so what you know, the partnership with Orion allows companies to do is get their name out there to the military marketplace, whether it's coming into one of our events and having the opportunity to stand in front of a captive audience of, you know, 50, 60, 70 candidates and talk about why their firm is a great place and their company culture and all the exciting things that they're doing, or just simply having the opportunity to have an assistant that helps to match them up with folks that don't have any of those red flags. So candidates that are interested in that type of work, that are comfortable with the geography and the compensation range, and ultimately have the skill sets that are required to make them successful. So that's really what Orion helps to do, is distill down this big pool of military talent for firms that partner with us, and help to identify, okay, here are the three or four or six candidates that you really need to talk to, as opposed to, you know, going and taking a more passive approach in the hopes that people apply online or come up to your booth at a job fair. These are candidates that know what you do, that are excited about what you do and have the right skill sets, and ultimately that's what the partnership will allow them to do, is kind of do a little bit better job from a matchmaking perspective. And the same is true obviously on the candidate side, is candidates come to us with a lot of ideas about, you know, where they want to be and what they want to do with their future careers. And part of what Orion does for the military community is we help to help those candidates not only understand where it is that their skill sets fit into the marketplace and give them some coaching on how best to present their experiences, but also we help to matchmake them. So we look at our system of all of our partnerships across the United States based on that candidate's desires and try to find positions for them that align with those desires directly.
Yeah, that's great. And one thing that you mentioned was about, on the employer side, if they're not a big organization, they're not a super recognizable name, maybe candidates, you know, aren't as excited about going to work for them, or not, maybe not even that. It's just finding them and knowing that they want to hire veterans. But I know you can attest to this because you've worked with so many of our larger scale clients. A lot of them, like a Honda, Siemens, Honeywell, candidates, it's not that they don't know who they are, but maybe they don't even have the best employer brand. Not that it's not good, but they just don't know that they want to hire veterans. So it's really getting that employment message out, more so than awareness about the company, because everyone knows who Honda is. But when you were transitioning out of the Marine Corps, did you know that Honda wanted to hire veterans? So that's kind of the gap that we're trying to help them to bridge.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And oftentimes, there's a difference between what it is, how I view the products out there in the marketplace for those types of companies, which are household names, and also kind of what sort of opportunities exist. Because, you know, it's amazing. I've seen opportunities for veterans exist in companies where you might on face value view what it is that they do as less attractive than others, but ultimately the job, the company culture, the progression that is available for those folks, it ultimately is a better opportunity. And if you went on face value of the name brand alone, you wouldn't see that. And so that's kind of what we try to present to the candidates and give them an understanding of is, you know, let's talk about what opportunities are out there. In addition to that, it's not just the small companies that don't have the name brand value. There's so many companies out there that do business-to-business work. Maybe they're multi-billion dollar companies that produce capital equipment for major industries, but because you can't go to a store and see their products on the shelves, a candidate may not have ever even heard of them. And so there's a lot of great opportunities at those types of organizations, and if no one is educating the candidate on those types of opportunities, you know, they may just go through a job board and apply online to the names that are familiar to them and completely miss out on an opportunity that could be perfect for them and long term give them the ideal benefits.
Exactly. And if you're doing it that way, just going on to an online job board and posting your applications to all of the ones that you recognize, like, you know, Fortune 100 companies, and you're just going blasting your resume to all of those, a lot of times, because they're such big companies, the competition's a little bit stiffer, your resume likely won't be seen. So there's definitely that hurdle too if you're only focused on the larger companies.
Sure.
So a lot of companies that we work with will ask us what type of preparation that we do with veterans before they transition. And we talked a little bit about this before when you were talking about how a veteran would prepare to leave active duty and transition into the civilian workforce. But I know we have a pretty structured curriculum that our recruiters use with candidates as they're transitioning off of active duty. But when a client asks you that, what do you tell them to kind of reassure them that, hey, we're doing everything we can to prepare this candidate to kind of come into the organization and hit the ground running?
Right. So a couple things I would highlight here. I think the first one that companies oftentimes don't realize is Orion will, in many cases, begin their relationship with a client or with a candidate years before they make their transition out of active duty. So it's a little bit different than maybe it was in the past before there were all these technological advances. We have candidates that are coming to us thinking about transition years before it's actually time for them to make the jump. So they're engaging with Orion, and while when they still have 2 years left on active duty, we can't show them specific opportunities for them to potentially interview for and fill, we can start to work with the candidate on preparing themselves for transition, not just from a mindset perspective, but also preparing their narrative of how they want to approach this and the story that they're looking to tell and ultimately sell companies on, because that's what they're doing. They're selling themselves as a solution for a company's talent gap. And so we start to work with candidates from, in many cases, years before they transition on, not just resume review, maybe things that they could do while they finish up active duty as far as certifications or training that would help to make them that much more attractive. We see a lot of candidates nowadays that are starting post-college education while they're in the service. So they have the ability to go to school at night or do some things, start an MBA program, potentially gain some certifications like a PMP that would make them that much more attractive to the marketplace. So we'll start to advise them about working on those sorts of things to make them the most attractive candidate once they are ready to get in front of potential employers. Another thing that we do is obviously a resume review. It's very difficult for candidates who are coming out of the service to understand what companies look for on a resume. In many cases, when they're transitioning out, this is the first time they've ever applied to positions in the private sector, you know, with the exception of maybe a high school job. And so there's a lot of coaching that needs to be done about how to translate experiences, what sort of accomplishments really play on a resume, you know, everything from length to formatting, and we do a lot of that work with the candidates as well, because ultimately, different than it may have been in the past, that resume is really a crucial piece. I mean, you spoke to it already, Megan, that a lot of firms out there have computer-based systems that will pass on candidates an auto-generated reply based simply on a keyword search of a resume, and that really puts a veteran at a disadvantage because they don't have the industry experience and they don't necessarily have all of the little bullets that the company might be trying to pull. So we try to help them with the resume in advance to make them as dangerous as possible in the marketplace. And then once they move into the window where they're actually, you know, within that period where they could be actively searching and applying to jobs and interviewing, there's a lot of additional preparation that we go through with them at that point. We do both online and in-person interview prep, so it allows the candidates to start to understand how to craft answers to questions and how to translate their experiences in a way that is digestible for the companies that they will be interviewing with, and just more or less helps them to develop that story as to who they are and why their experiences up until this point will translate directly into success in the job that they're interviewing for. And by doing all of that stuff combined, we just make that candidate ready to present to customers of Orion, but also out there in the marketplace, and really present an easy-to-follow, understandable story as to why they are an excellent solution to the problem that the company has, which is an open position, a gap in talent that they need to fill.
Yeah, that's very well said, Alex. I think one of the main things is to just keep in mind for companies is that there's a lot of preparation going on behind the scenes. And like you mentioned, a lot of times it's years before they're even face-to-face with the company. So lots of preparation going on there on both our end and then also just for the candidate doing that preparation on their end as well.
Right. And I hear this all the time, Megan, from companies. You know, they will come and say it's great and refreshing to work with Orion candidates because I don't have to spend the entire first part of the interview educating them on the job. They come prepared. They kind of have an understanding of what we do as a company. They may not be subject matter experts, but they can at least talk conversationally about their understanding of what it is that we do and how they would fill this position, which makes it very easy to kind of talk through those and maybe correct anything that's missing. But by and large, you're starting off on a good foot and you're talking to a candidate that is well prepared, that has been properly screened, that understands the job and is excited about doing it, which is oftentimes what I hear from recruiting professionals is the difficulty they face. Is they talk to a lot of candidates that went online, they one-click applied to 100 jobs, and they're only on the phone with that recruiter because that was one of the companies that called them. And so that's a really big portion of our preparation that I think really pays dividends and helping to put that veteran, while they may lack the industry experience, towards the top of the pile with those firms.
Very true. And I think, you know, a lot of companies are willing to overlook the direct skills translation and the direct industry experience for all of those things that you mentioned earlier with the mission-focused, kind of whatever it takes, attitude, fast-paced, quick learners. You can't teach those things. And so if you have to do some on-the-job training for someone that is just straight out of the military, as long as they are, you know, capable, they have the aptitude to do the position for which they're hired, and they have all of those things that you really can't teach, it makes it a lot easier for an organization to, you know, kind of not have to go through their strict checklist of things that a candidate must have in order to be hired.
It's an excellent point, Megan, and I always, the term that I use, and I will tell my partner firms, is I'm in the raw materials business. If a company is looking to hire someone that they can send out on the manufacturing floor or out into a sales territory the next day, and they're going to say, yep, I know how to do this, I've been doing it for the last 10 years, I'm ready to go, then maybe military is not the immediate best fit for that type of role. The companies that are really successful in hiring military look at it as a long-term solution and understand that military veterans, whether it be technicians or junior officers, in many cases have a higher ceiling than their civilian counterparts. And while there may be an initial requirement to get them up to speed, understanding the industry and the systems, that those companies, if they're willing to put that candidate in a position where they can grow and learn and be successful, what they'll find is in the long term, that person will outperform their peers that maybe have been in that industry for 5 years longer, and it's because once they get enough information to be dangerous at that point, all of those other skills, the soft skills that we've discussed, really have the opportunity to kick in, and now that veteran can really highlight or allow those experiences that they have through the service to shine.
Yes, exactly, and that's a great way of putting it. So any other advice for companies that would like to hire veterans?
Sure. I would tell you the first one is, you know, unless you have a significant amount of military presence within the organization and you've got a really defined plan and strategy, a great thing to do is to develop a partnership and understand with someone that, you know, or a firm that is a subject matter expert that can really advise you properly. It's very difficult to execute a military hiring strategy when you're still at the point where you're not sure who you need to contact or how you need to contact them and for which roles. So I think that's a crucial piece is, you know, at least in the start of building a military hiring strategy, engaging with a partnership that can help to educate those firms on how to do this is an excellent first step. I would say the second one is, you know, have an openness and a willingness to make that long-term investment and look past the bullet points in a job description. Oftentimes we talk to companies that say, well, you know, we want the candidate to have 4 years of experience within the industry or have certain levels of skill set, and they close themselves off to a lot of really talented people when they remain that constrained to specific requirements. So what we always try to advise our partners to do is, you know, trust in us, allow us to show you candidates that are that are very talented, that have a lot of skills that align with what you are telling us the position requires. And ultimately, at the end of that determination, once you've met the candidates, you've interviewed them, your team has seen them, if at that point you say, you know, ultimately we're going to hold out and we're going to wait for somebody that has this exact undergraduate degree or this exact amount of experience, then you have the opportunity to do that. But I think that the companies that open themselves up a little bit more to, you know, to the types of candidates they're willing to look at and are more willing to make those long-term investments are the ones that not only find themselves to be more successful in military hiring, but ultimately become more attractive to the military populace. So I would say those are the two big ones. Engage with a partnership that it can help it understand where you fit in the marketplace, and then also be willing to open up requirements and make a long-term investment and maybe be a little bit more flexible with military veterans. If that is really a goal, then you might be with somebody that's you know, applying online to your position that studied, you know, your industry in school or otherwise.
Well, great. I think that's excellent advice, Alex. And I hope that this will be helpful to anyone listening. Of course, Orion's got lots of resources online. You mentioned a partnership with an organization that, you know, provide services that will help organizations. There's lots of those. You know, we don't just do recruiting. We have our military talent programs, our marketing services. So lots of things that can kind of help companies get up to speed and ramp up their military hiring efforts. So I hope this is helpful. Alex, thank you very much for taking the time today.
Absolutely, Megan. Happy to do it.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.